Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Episode 37. Mm-hmm. Wild. I guess I can just reveal our juicy topic of this episode.
Yeah, it's juicy.
Yeah, so
we're gonna talk about dating
again.
Again,
but not about ourselves this time.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about dating culture.
A little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, dating culture in Hong Kong, very interesting topic. I was researching this at work, and it was really fun. But yes, also, wait, let's do check-in, and then I'll do our disclaimer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how have you been?
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's been ages since we recorded. Mm-hmm. I've been good. I've just been working. I'm tired. Like, I feel like I'm so tired every day, and I, like, want to incorporate workouts into my work because I get off, like, really late. Like, I get off at, like, 6:30 usually. And I have, like, overtime pretty frequent because it's just, like, it gets busy in the evening. Because that's – I don't know why. Like, in the evening it gets really busy. So, yeah. So, I come home late. So, I am trying to work out in the mornings. And I'm trying to invest in a jump rope. Maybe I can, like – jump rope.
Ooh.
I don't know, because runs, like, they're so tedious sometimes, so we'll see.
What about bikes?
Like biking?
Do bikes. Yeah,
I could, but I feel like bikes are expensive.
The one that I got was like, I think 200 something.
Wait, like in-house bikes or like
in-house?
Oh, okay,
in-house. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
That is it actually? I used to, but I feel like it doesn't make me sweat that much, and I want to, like, sweat a lot.
I do, like, workout videos, like, workout bike videos, and get me sweating pretty good. Like, it's a HIIT workout.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Just we'll see.
And if you want a workout buddy,
How early do you wake up?
6:30, but I start working out at, like, 7.
That's too early.
Okay.
I wake up at 8.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Never mind.
That's so early. But, yeah. So, just that. What did I do this weekend? Oh, we got passes to Universal.
Oh, Studios. Yeah. I saw.
Yeah. And it was fun. Okay. If you live in SoCal, like, get the SoCal resident or whatever, the SoCal pass, because it's only $140. But, like, a day passes, like, $120. So, I'm like, why wouldn't you get, like, if you live in California, why wouldn't you get the SoCal pass? Because if you go twice, like, yeah, it's a good deal. So, that was fun. I'm just tired. Like, by 11, I'm like, I need to go to bed.
Oh, my gosh. Crystal, you finally understand me now.
Yes. But I love it, though. I feel like I like the sleeping early and waking up early. Mm-hmm. So different from my, like, normal lifestyle. I like, in Hong Kong, I slept at 4. So this is, yeah, this is refreshing.
Yeah, this is gonna be a new norm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like, oh, God, so now our check-ins are gonna be boring. I'm just gonna
Yeah,
I work, and I'm tired.
Yes.
I totally feel you. It's like, I don't know, it's still, like, even though I'm just sitting in front of the computer for, like, 8 hours a day, even though I'm just sitting, like, it's tiring.
It's exhausting sitting all day. Yeah.
Like, by the time it gets to, so I get off at 5:30, so by the time I get off, like, my brain literally just shut down. My brain needs to rest.
Yeah, me too. Oh my gosh, also, my license plate, I don't know if it got stolen or it flew off.
What?
So it's gone. Like, I have, you know how you have the front and back, right? My front one is missing. So I don't know where the front one went. But the back one is still there. So I'm like, did they steal it? Because if they did steal it, why wouldn't they steal the back one? Like, why would they just steal one?
That's so weird.
Yeah, so I've been trying to, like, report, like, because I think if you have a license stolen, you have to report it to the police. So I've been trying to file a police report, but it hasn't been letting me, like, my application was declined. So I was like, and then I called and they were like, you should go in to the police station to, like, talk to them. But now I'm like, is it even stolen, or did it just fly off? Because apparently if it was stolen, they would leave the little plastic like stand that the license plate is on, but mine like was gone. So I'm like, maybe either they stole the plastic thing, or either it just flew off and I just didn't notice. But yeah, so I'm trying to get a replacement, but I don't know. Figuring that out. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this after work. Just let me be.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just so tiring after work.
Yeah. That's why you have to work out in the morning. Working out after work is just too much. How was your week? Your past 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah. So I actually went on a business trip. Adult summer went on a business trip for the first time to San Diego. It was like a pretty eye-opening experience, and I just feel, honestly, I felt like so young and inexperienced at that event. I also felt like very unprepared, but I think like I'll give myself the benefit of the doubt that it was my first time. Can definitely do better, but yeah, it was pretty interesting. I had a lot of meetings, met a lot of cool founders, learned about their products. And so the conference that I went to is about commercial real estate technology. So it's a very secluded space, but it's interesting because the industry is so small.
It's very specific.
Yeah, it's very specific, but it's a very lucrative market. Because it's property and it's commercial property, so yeah. And also learned that like some people use LinkedIn as like a dating app. Yeah, they like try to like talk to me,
slide into your LinkedIn DMs.
Yeah, it's like so weird. Also saw like a weird like cowboy hat guy at the conference. Like, who wears a cowboy hat at a business conference? Were they from Texas? Yes.
Oh, I see. They got to rep. They got to let everyone know that they're from Texas.
Yeah, and then that guy was also super dismissive. Like I recognize that I didn't present well, but he was also very dismissive about everything I say, and like he wasn't even looking at me when we were talking. It was just like, it was nerve-wracking for me like at that moment because I didn't know what to do, and it was my first meeting.
Right.
Ever at that conference, and I was like, shit. I was that so scared.
Nerve-wracking. That sounds like an introvert's worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think I'm getting more introverted, and I just learned that I'm probably not a very good salesperson.
Well, it's good you're not a salesperson.
Yeah, so there was that, but then I think it was a really good bonding experience with my coworkers too. And what else did I do? Oh, I did my hair again, so my hair is dark now and with highlights.
I like the layers a lot. Short. I'm like, do I get layers now? Because mine looks so choppy. Like, it looks so.
You need to. I curl it a little bit. That's why it has some volume. but yeah. There's that. Yeah. Overall, it just worked. I think there are a lot of. Hopefully, we get, like, more customers because of this trip. And, yeah, I'm excited.
Wow. Well, a lot of work ramps.
Yeah. Well, oh, I met up with my high school friends yesterday.
Oh, I saw in your story.
Yeah, I reconnected with her and had really good Shanghainese food, too. Ooh. So I had Shanghainese food yesterday and today. It was really good. Yeah, I love rice cake.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's dive into the juicy part of this episode.
Yes, but first, disclaimer. We wanted to say that our discussion is mainly based on a heterosexual straight relationship between a male and a female, as that is the majority relationships in Hong Kong. The LGBTQ+ population is smaller in comparison in our own experience. That's kind of really... how we're approaching this topic from. So that is why we're mainly focusing on heterosexual relationships, but we do want to talk about LGBTQ+ community in another episode. So yes, stay tuned for that.
Cool. All right. So before we dive into the nitty-gritty of this topic, we want to kind of explore the phases of dating and our experience with those phases of dating while we're in Hong Kong.
But I feel like these phases are very specific to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Like the experience that you get during those phases of your experience. It's very unique to Hong Kong. Yes. Yeah. So first of all, we have the meeting phase. How did you meet your first, I guess, love or crush or relationship person?
Oh my gosh, who is my first crush relationship person?
So long ago.
It was so long ago. I had a crush on like a childhood friend, like through school when I was younger. But like that doesn't count. We were like five. But like I think in high school and stuff, I didn't really have like I didn't really experience like dating that much, honestly, in high school. I liked One Direction a lot. Like I feel like they were a replacement for my endeavors. I did actually have a few crushes or like situationships in high school with people I met in the US, actually, because I went to US for summer camp, so I would meet people there. But because I went to an all-girls school, like I didn't really have exposure to men, and at the time I felt like, or to the male sex, and I felt like any sort of relationship you have with a male is not platonic. Like I didn't believe in platonic male and female friendships. But I do remember the very toxic side of, you know, talking, because I don't know, it's just like there's certain norms that people do where like you leave that person on red, like you can't respond within 5 minutes, like you have to not seem desperate. We were talking about this before, but you change your profile picture. So people in Hong Kong, we use WhatsApp, and you can like put a status or profile pictures. And it's so funny because thinking about it now, it's just like, why? But if you, you know, like if the boy didn't respond to you, you would like remove your profile picture, or you would change your status to like something that's very emo to hope that they notice. So yeah, last seen is definitely something I've done before. I think when I was younger, and I was talking to this guy that I met at summer camp, like on Facebook and stuff, I was like, this was before high school, I would be like double text all the time. I wouldn't really care about like if I was annoying them or whatever. But then it was until high school, like until seventh grade and onwards, that was when like dating in my experience became like kind of toxic and kind of like uncommunicative. Like people wouldn't communicate with each other. Or I had friends who dated or who had like situationships with guys in our like brother school, because all girls school, right? So there was an all boys school, and like we would used to study in Starbucks, and these boys would just like come into Starbucks, and then we were very close to each other, so we would study in Starbucks, the boys would study at a different table in Starbucks, and then they would like kind of make conversation when they pass by each other, but it wouldn't be like full-on conversations, or they would like walk past them to get attention. And I'm like, thinking back, I'm like, that's so funny. Or really like funny. After that, they would walk home together, walk to the bus station together. Like that would be their 10 minutes of communication time, even though they were in the same coffee shop for like 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that.
How about you? You went to co-ed school, so it's probably different from mine.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of things are still like kind of similar though. So
yeah,
I went to a co-ed school, and honestly, like the first crush that I vividly remember was like this guy. He was like kind of a stranger. I didn't know who he was before he started talking to me. But as I remember, like, he was from another class, and I never really, like, branch out of, like, and know other people from other class other than my own. But then I think this guy, he, I don't know how, but he got my number and my WhatsApp, and then he started, like, texting me.
WhatsApp is always the first, like, channel of communication. Yeah,
and then... But then it was weird back then because we weren't in the same class, and it's not like we can just talk about homework and like talk about studying or like teachers. I don't exactly remember how like our conversation went, but like when he first started messaging me, that's when I first started like noticing this guy. And I think back then someone was like, wow, a stranger just noticed me. And I felt so like, I don't know, it gave me so much butterfly. And then like I started like having a crush on this guy, like this guy that I didn't even know much. Like, we weren't friends before. I knew nothing about him. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know his friend that well. But yeah, so I started like just talking to this guy for like, we talked for a few months.
Oh, yeah, that's long.
Long. And then we did all that kind of, all that stuff with like WhatsApp, like changing status, changing profile pictures.
So funny.
Yeah, and then like for status especially, I remember I will like change it to like some lyrics of like a love song that like kind of capture how I feel at the time.
Yeah.
And it's always a roller coaster at the time too. Like, I just feel like it's nerve-wracking, to be honest. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
But then like other things that I would do is, I guess in co-ed school, what I can do is like, I like secretly looking over at the classroom and like try to see if he was there. And then sometimes I see him like looking back at me, and then I'll be like so happy. And we also have like a basketball court at school, and then that basketball court is like the center of the school, so you can basically go to the hallway, like the hallway, and then you look out and then you can see the basketball.
Yeah, we had that too.
I think every like lunchtime and like after school, I always just like stand on there and then I'll watch him play basketball.
Wow.
That's my like after school activities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very like, it's very Qingchen. It's like youth.
Yeah,
and you never really get that experience in your life anymore, I feel like.
Yeah, it's dumb, but also it was like, you gotta have lived through that, you know?
Yeah, like it's like a silly
experience. Yeah, and it's so pure too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So there was that. And what about the next phase?
Wait. Actually, in this like talking meeting phase, though, I was gonna say that a lot of girls in my school would do joint school events like with the partner school, like the boys school or another all boys school, and we'd have like joint school, like everything, like joint school drama, like events, joint school like balls, like Christmas balls, joint school like competitions and stuff. And then that's where people would meet guys.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were like, there's a certain people that always go to these events, and I was a commentator on this as well at the time, because I was like, why are they going, like, I don't know the term, like, 跳仔 is a term when you use, like, a bad term where you describe females, like, throwing themselves on men, like, flirting with men, like, trying to get the guy, or, like, talking to multiple guys. And then people always say that these people who went to these joint school events were Kaozai and Bao Sangwai, like they're trying to gain popularity. And thinking back, I'm like, why did we give them shit for it? It's like, we were like 15, 16. It's normal to be interested in boys and interested to date.
Yeah.
But I think because me and my friends, we weren't like interested in dating, or we like didn't really, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't want to go on my way to like meet. I think part of it is like a social thing, like a social like label. Like, I don't want to be labeled as someone who flirts with boys.
But
then you would give them shit for doing that. And now thinking back, that was so normal, a normal part of life. And I think the all-girls school thing really like messed with that, because if it's like a co-ed school, I feel like it's more bound to happen, like it's more normal.
Yeah, I think it's more common, like that will happen. Like, obviously you will have interaction with guys every day, but I still feel like dating and relationship is a very taboo thing in high school, because not only will have terms like 靠仔, 靠女, 或者 means like how means like girls who are very slutty, like quote unquote slutty, like
flirty. Not even flirty. But not even like slutty though. Just like very like trying to catch male attention.
Yeah. And then I think, but then for on the flip side, for guys, they have like 搞公.
Mm-hmm.
They, and then you have 搞女, which means you're trying to flirt with girls. And 搞公 means like basically simps. Like sims, but like male.
Yeah.
So I feel like people who engage or like get into relationships in high school are being kind of looked down upon. And I think that stemmed from the fact that our parents, like most of the Chinese parents or our parents, give us the idea that, oh, like, at least for me, like, they're like, oh, you can't date until you're 18 or you go to college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is like, dating is the forbidden thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's why people hide stuff from their parents so much in high school. But yeah, thinking back, it's like it's a normal phase of life. Like, shouldn't have given so much shit to people. And that's the thing also with gossip culture. Like, if two people have a thing, everyone knows. Everyone from that school, the brother's school, whatever, everyone like knows. And then it's weird because you date the same people because the circles are so small. So like I've had friends who's dated like her friend's ex and stuff, and it always gets messy, and then they like go to each other for advice, and I'm like, what is happening?
Wow.
But yeah. Anyways, moving on from high school. I mean, we are not in Hong Kong right now in our adulthood. So I think this is just from like friends and stuff that I've seen, how they meet people. Hong Kong has like a really good nightlife. So they go to bars, clubs. I don't know if I know some people go to clubs just to have fun, like genuinely. But I wonder what percent of those people are going there to meet, you know, other people, like romantically. And also, obviously, dating apps, like, it's become so common, like, recently.
Yeah. It's actually pretty common.
Mm-hmm. In Hong Kong.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend, he actually met his girlfriend on the dating app, I think.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Love that for him.
Yeah. I think it is, like, we're starting to understand that, like, especially after college, it's just really hard to meet new people.
It's so hard. And also, like, so many of my close friends met their partners on dating apps, like, and they're going strong. So it's like, I think even in Hong Kong, like when I was still in Hong Kong, I had the preconceived notion that dating apps are less legit, like relationships formed on dating apps are less legit. And I think that's just because like parents always instilled in you like stranger danger, you know, like it's not safe to meet people on the internet, and people on the internet just want to have sex and
money.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like dating apps are, I don't know if it's the same thing now, still in Hong Kong, but maybe, like, when we were in college, like, when I would go back, I feel like people don't go on dating apps to find legit relationships, or their parents wouldn't feel like their relationship was legit, or, like, people had no faith in their relationship because it was through a dating app.
Yeah. Actually, I met my last boyfriend on a dating app too, and I think when I first told my parents that I met him on a dating app, they were a little sus about it.
Yeah, even when I tell my mom about like, oh, like I met my friend's boyfriend, and my mom will be like, oh, where did they meet? Oh my god, I told her about this one friend in Hong Kong that met her ex off of a dating app, and then my mom was like, oh, but why? She's so pretty. Like, she could meet someone like just normal, like, she, like, my mom's like, she has so many options, like, why is she going on dating apps? So I think in her eyes it's like less legit, like she doesn't understand it, like, why.
Yeah, I think that's because like in news and media, like, people always just report like, oh, a scam from like a dating app. Yeah, catfish, or like a scam from dating app, people getting money from their bank account and stuff. But then we don't hear any positive stories from those apps. Like, whenever we hear about dating apps, it's always about like people getting scammed or like getting hurt or just bad stuff.
Yeah. People need to share their positive. There's so many, honestly. Like, I see so many on TikTok, too. And I feel like sometimes dating apps help because it lists, like, your interests and, like, what you're looking for versus, like, maybe if you met someone, like, randomly, like, at a bar or something, like, that would be harder to figure out.
Dating apps are more upfront.
Yeah, I don't
think if you're honest about it.
Yeah. I don't think we should shun people for being on dating apps. And I don't know, it's sad. It's sad when, like, you see their relationship is so good, but then you know that some people think that it's not legit because they didn't meet, like, in a very traditional way. But also, it's like, think about it. Where are we supposed to meet people? Like, after we graduate? Yeah. Like, you just go to work, you see your coworkers, and then you come home, and then it's like, how do I meet people? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The next phase.
The talking phase.
Yes. We kind of talked about this, actually, in our own experience. The, like, toxic things that people would do. Okay, I wouldn't say it's toxic. Was it toxic? I feel like now it's harmless looking back, but at the time, it might have been not the best. Toxic.
Yeah, it feels like there were a lot of anxiety and, like, you overthink and, like, overanalyze every little things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult looking back now, those seem to be toxic traits. But at the time, we actually didn't know better.
Yeah, also we didn't know what dating was supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. It was just things, you know, our friends did. Like, everyone did it.
Yeah.
Also, it was fun, low-key. Like, I don't know if that's bad. But, like, no, it's fun
when you're...
No,
that's not
bad. It's fun when you're talking to someone. Like, that talking phase is, like, I think the most carefree and fun part.
Mm-hmm.
At the time.
Like, just talk about random stuff and, like, and then sometimes I remember, like, either me or, like, the other person will slip in, like, one or two, like, very, like, kind of sensitive question, kind of like, oh, do you like anyone right now? Things like that, and then that would just get my heart at race. I was like, oh, I don't know how to answer. How do I tell him that I like him? But then, how do I respond to this question?
Yes, all the times I screenshot it and sent to my friends and
really. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
What do I do? Yes.
Yeah. Those are fun. Thinking back, it was fun. I wouldn't regret it. Yeah, I don't regret it.
Yeah, I feel like every, like, at least local school person who grew up in Hong Kong, like, probably experienced these things that we're talking about. And then people would get together. And I feel like, I don't know about high school because I technically never saw people get, like, none of my friends were in relationships in high school. None of my close friends, so I didn't know how people would ask people out, honestly. But I know now there's always a big gesture when it comes to, like, getting together. Ooh. And also, like, once you're together, the anniversaries are very important. Like, there's an expectation on, you know, like, showing materialistic affection on these anniversaries, like, per month. Like, for the first year, at least, I feel like it's very common.
Per month?
Yes! Like, it's very common for people to celebrate their monthly anniversaries in the first year, at least.
It's a little effort.
I know. So, I feel like this is a theme of, like, materialistic gestures, which we'll get into more later.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I didn't, like, all of my situationship didn't develop into, like, an actual romantic relationship when we were in Hong Kong. The first time that I held hands with the guy was, like, in a movie theater, and then he just, like, grabbed my hands. I think I talked about this.
Yeah, I think so.
Without my consent. But, yeah, we didn't know better.
No consent back then, yes.
Yeah, but then it was, like, I was, like, sweating. I couldn't focus on the movie. I don't want to, oh, my gosh. But I remember so my friend would stalk me too. Like, my friend stalked my first date.
Oh my gosh, I would do that now still. Like, if they were meeting someone off, like, dating app, I would go stalk them.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
But yeah, so basically we wanted to kind of dig deep into the characteristics of Hong Kong dating scene and some of the things that are pretty common in a typical heterosexual relationship. So the first one is very unrealistic high standards. I think I am taking this off of, like, the internet, but also, like, in what I see in some of my Hong Kong friends. And the thing is, like, when they talk to me about it, sometimes it's, like, very reasonable, but I think sometimes it gets blown out of proportion. Like, the underlying cause is reasonable, and then it gets blown out of proportion in the moment. But anyways, typically, Hong Kong women have very high standards when it comes to men. Also, like, Hong Kong is pretty traditional gender roles, the way people think. So, in an article that I read, a woman said, "I'd rather be single and die alone than date Hong Kong men." Yeah, a lot brutal. Of women, I know. And this is, like, the first line of the article. I was like, damn. And many women aim for a man with a monthly income between Hong Kong dollars, 80,000 to 10,000, 100,000. 80,000 to 100,000 Hong Kong dollars monthly income. That would be, like, that's a lot. What is that? That's, like.
Like, that's, like, 10K, like, a little more than 10K a month to 12K to, like, 13K.
Who earns that much?
Software engineers here.
Per month, though?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm shook. That's a lot to ask.
Well, especially in, like, big tech companies.
Well, yeah, but Hong Kong's, like, minimum wage is way lower than here. Yeah. So, like, that's very unrealistic.
Yeah. Not a lot of people earn that much.
No.
Like, the pool they will of have men to be at, like, you know,
the executive level.
Executive level, and you have to be of a certain age to climb up that ladder, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Work your way up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they want a man who is financially independent, won't take advantage of them, and has a good education, which I feel like it's pretty decent. I guess it's, like, the typical expectations, right, you have of men. I don't know. Anyways, they call – you. Sometimes women call Hong Kong men zatlam, and zatlam are basically, like, kid-like adults, kid adults, and they're obsessed with video games and figurines. They only stay at home. They stay at home a lot, and they don't really, like, see the light of day. And if a Hong Kong man does not have a promising career or the ability to take care of a woman, Hong Kong women will not date him. This is said by a Hong Kong woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it is very interesting because it's, like, kind of categorizing Hong Kong men into two categories. Like, you're either successful, you're either successful and, like, independent, have good education, or you're zatlam.
Yeah, very extreme.
Yeah, it's a very extreme. And I think that for men, too, they also have very traditional and conservative expectations for women. I think a lot of, like, men, especially men who are more masculine and, like, traditional, they mind women who are too career driven. They don't mind the woman having a job, but when it comes to looking for a marriage partner, they want someone who is willing to stay at home and raise the family. And one phrase that I hear a lot growing up is the family or the guy always want to find a girl who is yap da chu fan, chut da tan tang. Which means that you can go in the kitchen and you can also go into the living room, meaning that, like, you're presentable to other people, you have good mannerism, and you can also cook well and do all the housework for the household. And I think that became like a very common standard for a lot of Hong Kong men. However, in my own experiences and from things that I've heard from my friends, I wonder if our generation has changed this notion. Because I do, like, at least for my friend, I think he is more tolerant of, like, having a girlfriend who is, like, just as successful, if not more.
I think a lot of our generation doesn't think like that anymore, but I do know people, like, maybe in the business world who are very successful, who still think that way. And I think a lot of businessmen who have more of a bigger ego also think that way. I think it depends.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder for them to realize, like, to break the stereotype, because I don't know where they – I feel like it would be females who would be like, I can still, you know, like, I don't have to stay at home. Like, I should be able to, like, work and be successful on my own. But I don't know who will tell the men this, their point of view. Like, maybe if they're dating, they would, like, know that their girlfriend would want to be successful as well. But if a man is single and, like, in the very corporate world, I don't know, like, who would step up and tell them, like, to break – like, this thought process. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually very interesting.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, like, where, like, what would prompt them to even think about this? If their parents, to think about, like, woman shouldn't just stay at home. Woman should have their own career and be successful. And it's okay if women are earning more than you. You know, like, those kind of notions. I wonder where... like, maybe single, successful, like, very straight man would, like, mm-hmm. even have this notion proposed to him. Or, like, where he would even unlearn his preconceived thoughts when it comes to gender roles in a family.
I think media definitely plays a huge role. I feel like with Western media being more common, in mm-hmm. Hong Kong, a lot of people are taking in Western ideal of equal status for women and men. And I think in, like, recent years, we're also seeing female rising to power.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I know she's, like, controversial, but then our governor of Hong Kong.
I was going to bring her up, female. Too.
Yeah. She's a female.
Taiwan's a lot new, of other, like, governor yeah. is also female.
Yeah, there are a lot of powerful women nowadays. But at the same time, I feel like because they are women, they also receive more criticism because they're
definitely.
Women. They're being, like, criticized as being too soft, not decisive enough, mm-hmm. Things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just very, basically very traditional thinking, I feel like, when it comes to their, like, what they're looking for in the mm-hmm. opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do you think that, where do you think that this conservative dating culture come from?
A lot of things. This was very fun to research because I was also wondering the same thing. So I think Asia, China, and, like, Hong Kong as a whole is pretty conservative just by nature. I think the first thing, when you compare, like, China to the West, like, to the U.S., passion, seduction, and eroticism. I don't know what these things, like, specifically in what situations, but I assume it's, like, sex and, like, being open with sex and being open physically is considered risks and considered, like, something that is shamed upon. Chinese women often joke about the sense of security they have. They feel having a quote-unquote fat or quote-unquote ugly husbands with fewer opportunities to cheat. And also people in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, people in, like, China, Hong Kong, they don't really date around or, like, sleep around with multiple people. They usually, like, get into a relationship first before they, like, even kiss, usually.
Mm.
And I wonder if, like, we saw this growing up, but also, like, did we have a culture shock when we came to the U.S. of, like, how openly, like, when I came to the U.S., like, I came to the U.S. and I had my first kiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, non-exclusive. Like, it was just, yeah. like, oh, we're talking.
Yeah.
And that was never something that I feel like would happen. I don't know. I didn't date much in Hong Kong, so I wouldn't know. But I'm trying to think if – yeah, I definitely did think I had a culture shock also with, like, shows that I would watch. Like, if you compare mm-hmm. shows – like, also K-drama. Like, you don't see couples kiss in K-drama or, like, anything more than a kiss. But, like, yeah. when you would watch shows, like, I mean, euphoria now, right? Like, all drugs, a lot of drugs, a lot of sex, a lot of like shirtless, like you can see their boobs scenes, like naked
Oh, I
scenes.
didn't watch it.
I saw one episode. But like, there were a lot
Interesting.
of like makeout scenes in the shows that I watched growing up, like Gossip Girl and Teen Wolf. So yeah, we didn't see that on TV.
No. Yeah. I think I definitely had a culture shock too when I first came to US. Just like you, I had my first kiss when I came here. And I just didn't know what to do. Like, I was so shocked. I was like, oh my God. So I
We do
just
this
had
here?
my first, yeah, so I just had my first kiss. I guess that's American culture. And it's like, oh, I need to be okay with this culture in order to fit in. I need to tell myself that this is normal.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that what do you prefer, Crystal? I'm actually curious. Like, what do you prefer? A more conservative dating culture, or a more like liberal dating
Like
culture, like the
open.
US, open, yeah.
I don't think I have a preference. Like, it's not. Yeah, I don't really think I have a preference, honestly. Like, it's just like you do what you want to do, you know? I feel like people like maybe in Asia or Hong Kong prefer a more traditional route because I actually don't know. Maybe they didn't want to get taken advantage of. Like, if they like kissed them before they were together. Like, I think being getting together shows the label gives people comfort. So they don't want to proceed without that like trust and label. I feel like sometimes I think like that too, because that's what I grew up in and that's what I think is like right. But I don't think I have a preference. I think it's situational. But I
I
do
see.
sometimes associate like, oh, if I have a thing with this person, I do eventually want to get in a relationship. Like, I'm not just messing around just to mess, like, just 'cause. But I think it's situational. But I think that's why I get hurt a lot, because I go into things assuming that there will be a relationship, when in reality, a lot of people are just, you know, experimenting, like having fun. But I think maybe the concern, I don't know if this is like conservative or just like my own preference of like wanting to, like, if I'm getting involved with someone, I want it to lead to a relationship. Like, I don't know if that's like more traditional or if it
I don't
matters.
think like we should label it this way because like it is your preference, and if that's what makes you happy, then that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like how about
I feel
you? What
like
do you think?
I agree with you. It really depends on the situation. But I personally, I feel like there are times because like in America, because this dating culture is so open and like it's so casual dating is very normalized in college, especially here. So I think I subconsciously lowered my standard of where I want to take my relationship because I'm like, oh, this is college, then I should be doing this. But in reality, like after going through that, I realized that that is not truly what I want, and I should have just take things slowly before going into like a real relationship.
So like pressure, like not pressure, but just like you think that this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, or like I think I told myself to like, oh, it's nothing like because like I feel like here, even with like kissing or like having sex, it's not very, it doesn't like you don't need to be very emotionally connected with that person in order to do those things. I also lowered my standard because of that. I'll be like, well, I do have some feeling for this person, but then if we do these things, like I will stop myself from like thinking deeper into the meaning of those things. I'll be like, well, like they can just be like, oh, not it's not as serious as it seems.
Yeah. Also, you don't get judged. Like, I feel like in Hong Kong, if someone, like, if you find out someone's having sex, you're like, oh, how dare they? But then here it's like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. But it is, like, ultimately a preference thing. Mm-hmm. It goes back to, like, what you want in a relationship and what makes you happy.
Yeah. And what, like, the other person wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so, I feel like another factors of why dating culture in Hong Kong is so conservative is because we have very limited living spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So according to a study, the 2019 Demographia International Housing Affordability Study, which ranks 309 metropolitan areas in 8 countries, Hong Kong is ranked as the least affordable market. A median price house in Hong Kong is 21 times the annual medium household income.
Isn't that crazy? And
it is really crazy. Like, it's crazy high.
Yeah, sometimes, like, because Hong Kong is, like, pretty affordable other than housing, right? Like, food is pretty cheap, clothes are cheap, like, public transportation is cheap. But then you wouldn't expect our housing price to be so high.
Yeah, because it's so dense and populated with, like, in such a tiny city. And because the demand is so high and the supply is so low, that drives the housing price just, to the sky. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So according to this study, nearly 1 in 10 married couples in Hong Kong are not living with their spouse. Wow. Married couples.
I know. Because they can't,
those
like...
Those who do. Upwards of 12%.
Sorry, they can't afford, like, to buy a new place.
I think it's pretty common. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't afford to buy a new place. And even if they live together, a lot of the times, I think they might live with their parents.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to obtain, like housing in Hong Kong is just, like, passing down from your parents. Mm-hmm. Like, having real estate passed down from your parents. But obviously, you're going to be married when your parents are still alive. So people are forced to, like, live separately or live, like, with their parents.
Yeah. But also just consider, like, how that would affect your interaction or things that happen in your relationship. Like, you can't just sleep over. Like, how would you end, like, do whatever you want when your parents are in their house?
It changes things a lot.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And you're, like, just forced to go out a lot when you're dating in Hong Kong. You just go to shopping malls, you watch movies, you go to different restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually really interesting.
I think, that definitely contributes to more conservative mindset.
Mm-hmm. And I think another factor that makes Hong Kong dating culture more conservative is also because of social judgment. Like, we kind of touched upon it before, we have very small social circle in Hong Kong, especially when you're still in school. Everybody kind of knows everyone and gossip just goes around. So your relationship, like, never really just stay within two people, and things just, like, it's like when you want to confide with your friend and, like, tell them things, but then inevitably sometimes things would just get out and, like, for some reason other people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because when you're in a relationship, at least I will be, like, very scared of other people's judgment, and that might also impact how I interact with my partner.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, even I was saying just now, like, people have dated the same person because the social circles are so small. Like, yeah, and especially, like, if word goes out that you guys are, like, involved or, like, you know, you had sex, like, that's a huge gossip topic that people grab onto and talk about. Yeah, the same thing with the gossip culture. Like, this is another thing that people gossip about, other people's lives, other people's dating lives, especially when social circles are so intertwined. Like, I guess it's an inevitable that it would be talked about, but in a very negative, toxic way, it would be talked about.
And I think that, like, not only that, because, like, the parenting that we're brought up in stigmatize the topic of dating. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, I always have this notion, and I think it comes from my parents, that, like, people who date in high school are the ones who are bad girls or bad guys.
Yeah.
And they don't focus on studying.
Studies. I think that's another reason why people who went to, you know, flirt with guys, they were shunned so much, too. Like, the stereotype of them. Well, no, I think it's more so the gossip. It's fun to gossip. I think that's why.
Yeah. And I think it's, like, pretty, because our parents don't allow us to date at a young age, and also because, at least from my experience, like, because, like, it's very rare for people to, like, move in. I think from my experience, even when I asked my parents, like, if I can, like, stay over with my boyfriend, it would be, like, such a big deal. And they won't allow it.
Mm.
But, like, compare it to, I guess, American family. I think that's a very common thing that people do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then, of course, like, in high school, we also didn't have any sex education. And sex is just such a taboo topic that I knew nothing about.
Yeah. But because it was so taboo, like, when it was brought up, it was such a big deal. Like, bigger deal than it's supposed to be, because nobody ever talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess that teenagers were all curious about those kind of things.
Also, like, I feel like if we did talk about it at school, though, we would still be like, oh, like, why are we talking about this, you know, like, rejecting it, like, not wanting to talk about it, because our whole lives we don't talk about it. So if they actually did bring it in school, I feel like people would feel uncomfortable, but also I feel like parents would be like, why? Like, parents would not like it. And I wonder if the this Hong Kong's education system, like, would approve
actually, of sex ed to be. That reminded me, there was actually, like, one talk that, like, a group that gave a talk at a school about sex, but it was just, like, one talk. But what's interesting about that talk is guys and girls have to be separated.
Separate?
Yeah, we had to be separated. So guys, they talk about their, like, guy things, I think, and then girls talk about their girl things. So, like, even though we're finally talking about, like, our own bodies, but anything on the flip side is still a myth.
And I assume that you don't talk about it with the other side.
Yeah.
I'm, like, surprised it did that for your school, though.
Yeah, I remember it happened.
And with that, we've been recording for an hour, so we have a lot more to talk about that is really interesting, but we will split this dating culture episode into two, so we will be back with that part next week. But yes, but Summer and I will be recording.